Hello everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
And I'm Jack.
And here we are with the revolving door of TV cream, Shadowy Cabal, to watch the superlative Christmas entertainment that is the Box of Delights.
This is the most, I think this is the most Christmassy thing ever.
Yeah. Yes, I think you're...
Even though there's not a lot of Christmas in it.
No, it's funny that, because it's a sort of just a little subtext. Mm. But of course there's tons of snow and that sort of gash in it. But
I don't think there's any gash in it, to be fair.
Well, I've seen the director's cut. See her holds up a ring.
If you will.
So we've talked over the credits, titles I should say, sorry. And music, which I believe is an extract from the Carol Concerto by
Symphony.
Victor Healy Hutchinson.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah.
Symphony.
It's lovely. Dick. Well, it is the Carol Symphony.
Now,
he was a BBC employee, I think.
Victor?
He was, yeah. He was head of the BBC Symphony Orchestra or something.
It's actually quite... it's never really told. You're never told when this is set,
uh-huh.
But it's clearly set in the Edwardian era.
Right.
Now,
and is the original book set in that?
I have no idea. Has anybody read the Box of Delights?
No, I meant to. It's also a sequel, which is interesting.
Is it?
It is. Yeah.
Is it after the paper bag of delights?
The Turkish delights.
Oh God, I've actually totally forgotten what the first one's called. But no, there were two books, basically.
Man, that's the first fucking reverse effort.
<That's laughs> Thank you. Basically, I think we're meant about 7 or 8 years apart in the 20s and 30s.
Sorry, can I just interrupt, which I will do quite a lot.
No, really?
We're on the... Shut up. We're on the platform, and it should be filmed on the platform, and then suddenly we're on a rear projection, like a sort of blue screen of it, that's and now we're back on the platform.
Yeah.
Suggesting that there must have been quite a lot of pickup stuff done on this, which, is that perhaps why it's so fucking barking?
Maybe.
Yes, possibly, yes. And talking of barking, why is a dog called Barney Dog? Do you notice this? He's not called Barney.
No, but when I lived in the aforementioned Millers, we used to have a dog called Sandy Dog.
Sandy Dog?
Yeah.
I call my cat Jasper Cat.
Sandy Dog. I mean, Sandy's middle name was there, but I mean, it was Sandy Dog.
Sandy Dog. So is your cat actually called Jasper Cat?
No, just Jasper, but I call him Jasper Cat.
Okay.
Jasper
but that dog is called Barney Dog.
It is called Barney Dog,
that's a good name.
Yeah, but he, Cole Hollins... Mm-hmm. Is off his chops.
He is off his chops, yeah.
Patrick Troughton must have been one of his later roles. Mm-hmm. What happened to Patrick Troughton, Jack?
Go on, Jack, fill us in.
He had a very...
He was filling somebody in, wasn't he?
He had a very full and varied acting career, I think, didn't he?
Did he? Yeah. How did he come to an end? Anyone know?
You shite bag.
I'm trying to think the last thing he was in.
Censor. Here's the censor. Piece of censorship.
We've been mobbed. What was the last thing he was in?
He's just used my joke back at me.
Yeah, but I did it better.
Come on now.
Right, so we're back, the wolves are running.
Is the character in the first book, and I think it's a kind of adventure.
Okay.
And then he comes up in this one again. But I don't think the TV series makes any reference to...
No, it doesn't.
...any past adventures. It starts with him just being a normal schoolboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what's better, Victoriana or Edwardiana?
Edwardiana, I think you'll find, because I suppose it must be because I think it's slightly more familiar.
Uh-huh.
But because Victoriana, apart from anything else, I think because of the associations with Dickens and so forth, it's quite grim.
This is true.
And you, certainly in literature, I think you know more about literature than me, Craig.
Do I?
over to our literary expert.
No, but I think it's because you see literature, Victorian literature, you know, through the prism of Dickens.
Yeah.
So there's always although there's the warm stuff, there's always the quite hard-edged, you know, no hiding the poverty and that sort of thing. But in Edwardiana...
It's like high-tech Victoriana.
Yeah, it's like steampunk Victoriana.
There's also a lot more children's literature from the Edwardian era that was still sort of...
Yeah, because nobody gave a fuck about children
in the Victorian era. Yeah.
Apart from the people that kept the hundreds of child brothels.
But
Back to basics.
But it feels like with Edwardiana, you can get all... You can sort of cherry-pick the bits you like from Victoriana.
Yeah.
I think. But the other thing about this is how different would this have felt in terms of sensibility if it was set in the 50s?
Oh, I don't know. You're asking questions. This is quite tough. You're asking questions I haven't even thought
Listen,
about.
Listen, we've got six fucking episodes to get through this.
The thing is, though, if it had been set...
We'd fall out over Christmas like every other dysfunctional family.
If it had been set as near... Now, bear in mind, this was
1984.
Yes. No, it actually was 1984. which means that since we would have been watching this as kids, mm-hmm. living as we still were in a proper country, mm. we would have had some sort of connection.
Makes you sound a bit BNP.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's just because we still had a shared cultural experience.
Yeah. Mm.
We watched the same films and mm-hmm. television programmes that our parents watched.
Just Mr. Fox.
So it wouldn't have been that, it wouldn't have seemed that far away.
Yeah.
Because actually, when you think about it, 1984, mm-hmm. actually 1984, when it was on,
mm-hmm.
The early 50s were 30 years ago, which is the equivalent now of then, which is absolutely. The early 80s, which doesn't seem that far away.
No.
It probably seems much further away for young kids now than the 50s seem for us, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So Edwardian is just far away enough to feel old, but just recognisable enough for it to matter to you.
Yes.
I think that's that all wrapped up then.
So what will we watch now?
Look at this, he's a fucking servant. Get that bag, you.
Get that bag.
Now, I really...
Can I wear those boots later, Jim?
I really love Boxing.
You've grown a full half inch this time.
Patrick Troughton back.
I really love Box of Lights.
Good, right.
But I have no interest in the subsequent sort of serials. Because they did like the Chronicles of Narnia and things.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
I've got the box set because this came with it.
Okay. So.
There was a diminishing returns as it went on.
Yeah, so why is that?
It's just a better production, and it's a story that seems to make. Well.
Even about to say it makes sense.
No, not that it makes sense, but it makes sense to
it's
you
satisfying.
Watching it.
Yeah.
But The Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe, I won't pretend that I didn't like it when it went out, because it was quite Christmassy and it was near Christmas and mm-hmm. I was just predisposed to like it.
Mm-hmm.
But watching it back, I watch this every year now, and in fact it's a real struggle, recording this as we are on the 2nd of December,
mm-hmm.
it's a real struggle for me not to watch it before December.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watch it all the time during December. But if you watch The Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe back, it's fucking shit.
It's also got too many kids in it. With pretty some of them have got really bad performances, bless them.
Yeah.
That lassie with the massive teeth. She's honking.
And there's no getting around the fact that the kids and the children, I should say,
mm-hmm.
never kids.
They're kind of
juvenile.
Tomorrow belongs to them.
Had all that ahead of them at this stage.
Absolutely. In the Lion, Witch and Wardrobe, they're fairly awful.
Yeah.
You know, they really sound like precocious wee dicks.
Mm.
Kay Harker, on the other hand, who you really shouldn't identify with. You would never make this now. People say you would never identify with it.
Yes.
You'd have to do what they did with the films of Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe, which is to make, you know, I know they are evacuees, but you know, you have to show them being hard up and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's there with her strangely named Carolyn Louisa, which is a funny name.
Yeah. Mm.
For our guardian in a fucking chauffeur driven car on their way to the magnificent Sea King's house. And as a kid in the early 80s, you watch this and go, that's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
The lad that plays Kay Harker, Devin, is it Devin or something?
I think it is. But yes.
Was not a posh kid.
No.
No, I remember once watching the some of the extras on the DVD thing. DVD menu.
In the bar stall.
And
fuck off.
They did an interview with him and he looks incredibly like Phil Norman.
Does he?
Our Phil Norman.
Wow.
Sir Phil Norman.
Uh-huh. Handsome,
the Gowlighter of TV Cream.
Uh-huh. What a handsome chap.
Yeah, what a handsome chap. And he said he was like it was just like a comprehensive and
Do
he did acting
where
and
Phil
things.
Norman was in 1984?
He seemed to be buying muffins,
scrubbles,
getting buttered eggs for tea.
Buttered eggs sound quite nice, don't they?
They do sound nice.
Is that egg in a cup to the rest
of
us?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a character I should point out that is never explained, ever. She's there, and then she's young, and then she's no there, and that's it.
Nerving fires at him.
No. So anyway,
there's a lot of that in this.
He's very likable, isn't he, the young film?
He's really good.
No, he's fine, and he's a good wee actor. And actually, all the rest of them are as well. And especially the girl that plays oh Christ, I can't remember, is it Lucy? Or is that, I've been confused thinking about language.
I think it's Lucy, the one with the big teeth, isn't it?
The one that gets is always get the guns and all this sort of thing. They try to bring her in.
Yes.
She's really good.
Yes.
The Joneses.
I don't remember.
Yes, so the Jones children.
I don't remember.
This is all nice with the dogs running along beside the car.
Yes.
You get the impression that all must have all come from the book.
Mm.
But the Kay Harker boy.
Not this, yes.
Has he
ever Mariah.
Has he ever been in anything else? He didn't exactly go into a stellar career.
I think
did he
quite a lot of sort of legs akimbo style.
Did he?
He was doing.
And then he learned basic HTML and 1997 said, fuck this, I'm going to create a website.
When he was interviewed for the DVD extras, I think he was doing some sort of Shakespearean thing, which is why he was looking a bit full. I don't pretend that Phil Martin looks like the Duke of Thubblethwaite or whatever shit there is in Shakespeare.
I've only met Phil very briefly, so I don't know what you look like, Phil, to be honest with you.
Liked his book, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I liked his book. Yeah,
it's a good question.
I couldn't see him across
Barf.
No, Barf was there. I like the wing back chair. I like a wing back chair.
I used to have a great wing back chair that an elderly friend of mine gave me when they were getting rid of stuff. It was fucking great.
What did you do? What did you get rid of?
It was just too big.
How big was it?
It was.
Was that a throne?
It was the size of Sheppy. No, it was. It was like a. It was enormous.
Look at
that. It was a great chair.
It's beautiful.
That's a Christmas house.
Mm. That's a proper Christmas.
I actually drive along through towns and whatnot, thinking about, if I pass a nice house, I think that'd be a good house to have Christmas.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I love
and
Christmas.
Love it is nice paper.
We're all about Christmas fans, aren't we?
Yes.
There's that woman again. No idea who she is.
That's the bloke.
Oh, is that? Yeah, she never. Is that? Is that the guy that later on plays Herne the Hunter?
Yeah.
Isn't it? He's quite camp,
mm-hmm.
But he's probably not actually camp. But I think they're very sort of rather.
Yeah.
No,
but this
thing,
is all absolutely beautiful.
The other thing I remember about the box.
Oh, there's a cartoon deer for no reason.
Yeah. Good
animation. The Hunter, isn't it?
The other thing about Boxed Delights that sticks in my memory is that they seem to promote the fuck out of it. Like,
yeah,
I was kind of
was
aware
huge,
of it for
it
about
Blue Pizza and stuff.
5 months before it ever came on.
They did a lot of stuff on Blue Peter about, I mean, everything almost, from the music to the animation.
They were very, very, very proud of the special effects.
Oh, well,
they
actually got quite right, didn't
they? Yeah,
they're great special effects.
Because they're very in keeping. The Drop of Dew.
I beg your pardon. It's of its time.
It's of its time.
John Buckham is writing Far Worse.
Yeah.
And this woman at the, now, is it the sort of inn or coaching horses style in the Blue Boar or something.
It's the drop
It's fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's that style of thing, you know, you would see in a Christmas card or something. And she has that wonderful thing where she says later on about, you know, Amder Brown, oh, his wife has the most beautiful jewels.
Mm.
Just so fucking pompous and middle class.
Which one? In Patrick Troughton's case.
No, we're talking about Abner Brown.
Oh, sorry.
Sylvia,
well, actually, you could say that about Robert Stevens.
Sylvia
as
Pouncer,
well.
The strangely named character Sylvia Pouncer, mm-hmm. who's great. So,
I think the dialogue in this is fantastic. The idiosyncrasy of the dialogue in this, I think, is fantastic. Like Barney Dog, and just his turn of phrase.
In my box
are
such
delights. That was in the trailer, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that's true.
But it's very, very idiosyncratic.
It's all good. You know, in these post-Savile days, some of it's,
you know.
Didn't they get away with
it? It was a different world.
It was, with more instant time.
But this is great. I mean, we're only about 7 or 8 minutes in or something.
Mm.
And already we've had people turning into
atmosphere.
Cuddly wolves.
Mm.
That guy turning into a cartoon deer, and now Patrick Troughton's showing him his box.
And seeing you're fond of birds, aren't
you? Which bird he'd like to see.
Me too, kid.
Wait, you see this?
What you want to do, Kay, after this is over, is get yourself in the conference circuit. You'll be beating them off with a shitty.
You'll be beating them off!
I should have did that as well.
We are so cliched.
Now, the Box of Delights.
Mm.
So we've already confirmed that we don't know much about the book.
I know nothing about the book except that John.
It
Misfield.
Was written by John Misfield in 1930 something.
Okay. Thank you.
He was mostly a poet, though.
Right.
Yes, I must go down to the sea again, to the lonely sea in the sky.
Quinquidam.
That's good.
Sorry?
Quinquidam.
of...
Who's Quentin? Come on, that Cargo is one of his most famous poems.
What was it? All right.
Yeah. Skip the Spanish galleon going down the isthmus.
See the bit I've just read out. That's it. Okay, that's my job.
I know one.
I'm not dissing poetry. Mm-hmm. I am painfully ignorant of poetry.
Yeah, I know one poem. Forward and back, said the old man in the dances, who whittled away at his stick. Long gone, without a glance to the entrance made it through.
What's that from?
Bitter Fire and Lolly.
I was going to give you a little bit of John. No,
go on. We're not taking the piss. Go on.
No.
I have another poem from Bitter Fire and Lolly.
What's from it?
I can do another poem.
I can forget. I'll go on in.
Lay.
Oh, for fuck's sake. We're only 10 minutes into the first episode.
No.
Cheers!
So Cole Hollings, the old Punch and Judy man,
yeah,
has come to give his old Punch and Judy show, where everybody sounds like the Doctor.
So do kids today know about Punch and Judy, do you think?
I don't care.
Is that trope die off?
I wouldn't have thought so.
I've no idea.
When did you last see Punch and Judy featuring in some kind of piece of popular culture that was directed at kids?
Well, it wasn't exactly like it was wall-to-wall back in 1984.
There's a
Punch and Judy.
There's a Punch and Judy scene in Game of Thrones.
Is there now?
Yeah, they just cut the head off Rob. And then they rape somebody.
Yeah, that's true.
And then just brother and sister fuck. But in the corner is Cole Hollings waiting his turn.
Wow.
The policeman pops up.
Mm. But I think this is full of tropes and things that I just wouldn't resonate with youngsters today.
Mm.
Don't you think?
Well, perhaps that's one of the reasons that it feels so Christmassy, is because it does include all of the elements. I mean, obviously it's set at Christmas, but carol singers and the magnificent party at the Bishop's Palace with the great John Horsley. Mm. And I suppose the Punch and Judy show, and that, like, I went once when we used to have a pub in Glasgow. Long gone now, but it meant that we used to go out for dinner on Christmas Day because my mum had spent weeks and weeks cooking hundreds of turkeys. Yep.
Got with the one thing. That's wrong, but carry on.
What?
Going out for dinner on Christmas Day is wrong, but carry on.
Well,
yeah, we'll come back to that.
Yeah, back
but
to that.
But it's not wrong when you've been cooking Christmas dinner for 6 weeks. So anyway, we went out for Christmas dinner. We went to this dreadful restaurant in the east end of Glasgow, which seemed like quite a good idea at the time. It's also long gone, and I think it was called The Antlers. And it had a Punch and Judy show that played to the most indifferent audience in history. I think it was only about me and the three of us who were kids who were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a dreadful meal, and it was a dark place, and it had one of those slightly tacky but slightly slippy carpets. And they gave you turkey with cherries, which was a turkey breast that was stuck with cherries on cocktail sticks so that you couldn't get at it. It was fucking terrible.
Was it quite dried meat?
I don't know. We never got that far.
Yeah.
I've remembered that poem there.
Go on.
And you can get... I haven't looked it up, so I'll probably mess it up anyway.
He's not looking.
Cargos. It goes, Quinquirm of Nineveh, far distant Ossifer, rowing home to haven in sunny Palestine with a cargo of ivory, and apes and peacocks, sandalwood, cedarwood, and cheap white wine. Stately Spanish galleon from the isthmus, dipping down the tropics and the palm green shores, with a cargo of diamonds, emeralds, amethysts, topaz, cinnamon, and gold moidores. One last one. Old dirty British coaster, steady. Dirty British coaster with a salt caked smokestack butting through the channel in the Mad March days with a cargo of time coal. Road rails and pig lead. Some firewood, ironware, and cheap tin trays. Thank you.
Hooray.
That was
like
digging
having,
deep.
It's like having Leo McGarney.
That was digging deep.
Now meanwhile, they're walking into a painting.
Hey!
Now, did the lyrics to Give Us a Clue?
With Michael Parkinson.
Come on, he was Port Laureate at 37 years the last.
And Lionel Blair!
The least we can do is remember one of his poems.
I'm asking you. Give us a clue.
What? Wonky donkey. Alley up and off we go.
What I particularly like about Kay Harker is he questions none of this.
No, he's pretty easy going.
Barney quite happy
dog.
With that.
Come on, Barney dog.
Neither does the dog, actually.
Barney dog doesn't seem to mind.
No.
Slight nostril flare.
And I like as well that when they're performing, he's performing as Punch and Judy, Barney dog gets given like a rough.
It does, yeah.
Like pom pom out of space.
I need a lie down after that poem.
It was good.
You need a lie down.
You just hear the viewers. The listeners switching off in their groves through that
so,
one.
We can say what we're like now,
yeah. Wasn't it?
They've all gone.
Who fucked who?
Yeah, it's hardcore Remain. We're through the looking glass, people.
Okay, what are you gaping at? Your curtains, apparently.
Oh, so, that's a beautiful shot.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Given that we've still got probably...
So Carolyn Louisa has been called away on the pretense... that we don't know as a pretense at the moment, that her relative is ill, her sister or her mother or something. No, it's the maid's mother, so it's her somebody. You never actually find out the status of Carolyn Louisa.
No, I think it's his.
It's her guardian. His dad's best well, stuff, I get the feeling that she's a sort of.
She's quite hot.
Yeah, she's a sort of.
Racy from town.
Yeah, nice Edwardian lesbian lady.
I think his
Thank
dad
you, Mr. Bars.
Is like, what's his name? At the start of Michael Redgrave, at the start of The Innocents, I think he's like, just you go and look after the kids.
Yeah.
Because my life in town is not the sort of thing a child should be. That's just very true of Michael Redgrave, actually.
No, absolutely.
It's more than a few bouncing bombs in his time.
So there goes Foxy Face Charles and Chubby Face Joel. Yeah,
good names.
They are great names.
And here comes the most, I think, genuinely one of the most incredible performances
yeah, he's phenomenal
in television.
Yeah, he's absolutely brilliant.
Ever. Yes. Robert Stevens. Dirty old Robert Stevens.
He does look fucked already, though.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
11 years before he died.
There is nothing he does in this that's not totally invested in this production. Mm. He believes every word. And Bill Wallace is great as Ran. Although,
I think we just lost quite recently, didn't we?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Yeah. 2013, I think. There's nothing. Every moment is true.
Yeah.
In his performance.
And what other lines does he have on his CV then?
Robert Stevens.
Well, the private life of Sherlock Holmes, which is
that's a great film. Billy Wilder film. Yeah.
The Asphyx. Which sounds like it's good
man.
Yes, the end
story
end.
Of his life.
As my friend John and I used to call it.
Taste of Honey,
yeah.
Which he's incredible in.
A great Shakespearean actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sir Robert Stevens, as he was.
Yeah.
Mm. His wife. He was married to
Maggie Smith.
Maggie Smith, of course.
Mm. And at the end of his life, he was married to. She turns up in this, isn't she?
Yeah, Sylvia Lady Pouncer.
Yeah. She was also that woman in Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I think. And she's still Lady Stevens, I believe.
Wow.
Because they were. Mad at Tim Burton.
Yeah,
he was a great actor.
Phenomenal.
His lifestyle took its toll on him. He was a
big
for many many years.
Shagger, basically. Mm. We're all right saying that, are we?
It's all right.
Yeah, we're right saying that.
All good.
Not going to be mocked again, are we?
Yeah.
And I love it. It's, you're right though. The dialogue is superb. All that sort of thing. Says you know, green cheese. That's what I like. You know, but
very
green cheese tomorrow. Remember. Bacon rind makes your fur shine.
Bacon rind, I was hoping for, not just cheese.
There you are. Bacon rind, you slab tomorrow. Oh, it's just,
there's a sort of poetry to this.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring up poetry again. The lonely girl stood on a bridge, her lip was all the quiver. She gave a cough, her leg fell off and floated down the river.
Do your funny
poems.
That's
an old Basil Brush one.
Do your funny poems.
Well, there is a poetry to the rhymes, to lines in it, though.
There was a young man from Torbay... went sailing to China one day, was strapped to the tiller by a randy gorilla, and the Far East is a bloody long way.
There was a young man called Enos.
Just fill that one in yourself.
Later on, in episode 6, if you're still here, we'll get to the man from Nantucket.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We'll get to Khartoum as well. So Prince Rupert's Arms.
Yeah.
Not the Joppa Jew.
Sorry, you're right. What's his name? Patrick was staying at the drop of dew.
At this point, can I issue a retraction?
Oh, what, for everything you've ever done ever?
Get comfy.
Should we start with the three of your earth?
Well, what I think we should do here is just let Jack say it. Uh-huh. Let the moment pass and not comment.
Hold on a minute, you're Mr. Fucking Interrupty.
Carry on.
So, in our Five Doctors commentary, I mistakenly informed you two that in Robert Holmes' version of the script, Tom Baker would turn out to be the Norton. In actual fact, it was going to be the First Doctor, and that would have been the narrative reason why the First Doctor wasn't in the Hobbit.
You are such a cunt.
Yeah, get the fuck out.
That's it.
I can't look at you.
Turn on it.
We're on the brink of war with Syria, and then you drive.
I just thought it couldn't get any worse.
I've had to hand.
It's Corbyn's Britain.
I know it's Corbyn's Britain. I've had to hand back my spectacles that slide down my nose.
I can't go on.
Terrible. Anyway, back to
back to the
ball. Then you and I, when the evening lies spread out against the sky.
Yeah. Oh, now here's the thing. Now, I think we should make a feature of this, the tropes that appear.
Mm.
Uh-huh. That as young Baldy Specky Jack and, you know, young.
Well, wasn't Baldy
fat, fat objectionable Chris.
And the poet.
And then the poet here. Fucking.
The boy Larkin.
Yeah. Fucking Mar Larkin. Like, carry on.
We should point out the tropes that would have made perfect sense to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For example,
there's somebody at the door.
It happens a wee bit later, but the Midnight Feast, which I think would be quite alien to the concept of it to kids now.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. It comes from sort of
school
novels and things.
Yeah.
As his manners.
It's our manners and book learning.
Poetry! They don't even know any poetry anymore, these children.
And basic grammar.
I don't know why Gerund is.
So this is Aberdeenshire.
I think this, because they did some filming. Poor bastards going up to Aberdeenshire in the January of early January of 1984.
That horse has got a meter on it.
Wolves panting.
Where are you going, some funny boots?
So has your lad seen this, Box of Lights?
Yeah, I showed it to him when he was about five or six, and he liked it, actually. Yeah.
What's he like?
He said, wow, actually, you might even know that we younger than that, because he did do a full wow when he takes over the
why is that mouse talking, Daddy?
now he's a sophisticated 11-year-old.
Mm.
He thinks it's funny that I watch this every year.
Does he? Does he think this is bad now?
He says he thinks it, but he understands
kids,
that it's
when kids
good.
Say bad, does that mean good?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Wicked. It's wicked.
Sorry, Craig.
He said it's radical. Okay. But this bit here made him go, wow, see, here we go. When he was a little lad, he thought that was great. And now he just thinks it's a bit hokey. But he does actually say that it's a great ending, this as well, isn't it?
I don't really understand.
What a great way to end the episode.
Mm. Well, fuck, that's the first episode. Yeah.
We've hardly talked about anything. I've got to go and learn another poem.
We're going to let these run two at a time. So we're just going to talk. Devin Stanford, there you are. Or, as he's known now, under the stage name, Phil Norman.
Yeah. His more exotic stage name, Phil Norman. Yeah.
That can't be your real name, surely. So, Flora Page, that's a great name.
Bishop of Tatchester.
Well,
he didn't appear, did he?
And Dyson.
She just flashed that ring, came up with a hoover.
Glenn Edwards.
Not Glenn Edwards, no. Unfortunately. But we're just going to let this run on.
Who's Lella Productions, do we know?
Nah, I have no idea.
Presumably it's not that John Bird.
Don't know.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Roger Lynn. See, the music in this is fantastic.
Yeah, the music is beautiful.
The old Radiophonic Workshop there.
I just wanted to clarify. We're watching these just on the DVD, play all. And we'll just talk through to the second episode. So,
nice housekeeping, Chris.
You were asking about my son liking it now, but I think he thinks it's something that I like now that he finds rather hokey. Okay.
So he'll be back into it.
And probably thinks that I cry at it.
Yeah. And do you cry at it? Well, we'll find out.
Probably.
Listener, we'll find out.
But the thing is, the true test of a character, of a young man, is at what point does he come back around to it?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
Paul Stone. So didn't Paul Stone do things, and Rennie Rye, yes. Didn't Paul Stone do things like Aliens in the Family? Is that sort of roundabout this year?
I don't know.
Science fiction drama. It was the sort of thing that people who were getting pissed off at Doctor Who went and started watching that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because it wasn't any better, but it was still on children's.
I was still a Doctor Who this time. I only, as you know,
gave it up
during Sylvester McCoy.
But I think you'll find, Craig, you didn't leave Doctor Who. Doctor Who left you. Yeah. Just a Mary Black defence.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was still shite when Sylvester McCoy was the Doctor.
Yeah, I had to fucking put up with it, man. We had to put up with it. Well, I didn't. Yeah. I mean, he was working on a fucking master plan.
Yeah.
Cut my master plan.
But the good thing about the DVD release, and this is why DVD, no matter what anybody says, is better than VHS. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen this for years. I don't recall it ever being repeated.
Mm. I think that's true.
I don't think it was ever repeated. So
I always felt like they...
I think
they,
it was repeated in two parts.
I don't remember it.
I always felt that they thought the Narnia stuff was better. I felt like the BBC kind of thought there was more prestige in the Narnia stuff.
More Christian.
I do think that they probably did fall foul of what we spoke about earlier, which was that this wasn't relevant anymore.
No.
And was a bit too elitist.
It is interesting, because I don't
think... Fuck knows why they thought that William Rich Wardrobe would be any better.
Because with most sort of classic novels of this ilk, adventure novels, there's usually been two or three versions by now. There's not a single other version.
There's lots of radio versions.
Is there?
In one of them, I think Rat was played by Charles Hawtrey in something like the 40s.
Wow.
Or 50s or something, yeah.
Wow. Anyway, the point being... The VHS, so I bought it in VHS. Mm. I did buy it on eBay back when you did things like that.
Mm-hmm. Was it over two VHS?
It was on two videos. I've got them down there. But to get it onto, to even get it onto two videos, they just conflated all of the episodes. Mm. So you just got titles and credits
like a movie.
on each video. Mm-hmm. And what's much better is when they can just give you the entire episode.
Yeah, because that is a great ending, that one you just said. Yeah.
They also did that...
I right in this episode as well.
They also did that with the VHS release of Edge of Darkness, which was sort of pushed all together, which is no use at all. You need to see the wee cliffhanger a bit in the wee intro.
You see this little scene here where they are attacking the wolves.
Yeah.
Don't you think they're slightly prudish in how they shoot that? Because there's no...
You don't see them... Yeah. Well, there's one bit where you see them... It's almost as if he's skewered a wolf.
Yeah, look.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was on at... What was it on at, like...
Well, now, I have a memory of it being on a Sunday, but...
No.
That's wrong, isn't it?
No, it wasn't a Sunday.
No, never Sunday.
I think it was midweek, wasn't it? I think it was a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Yeah. For some reason, I've got it in my head that it was like
I think the Narnia...
Well, you're the one that had the fucking video.
Watching it back at your leisure.
Actually, I probably had to, because I was professor of poetry at Harvard.
Supping on your posset whilst watching.
In between watching
on the VHS
Cannibal Holocaust or something.
I think I was sitting with...
The great thing is, none of this makes any fucking sense.
Yes,
waiting for Sylvia to fuck off so you can get the something in the oven.
She fucked off some time ago.
Try and put the fresh bread pizzas in. Get fuck.
There was a queue of them for him, wasn't there?
So now this is him giving them the box. But you kind of don't care. But none of this makes any narrative sense. There's no reason for him to appear. And your man in the suit of armour. So it's King Arthur's camp. And it's all very sort of feudal England. Medieval England. But he's in a suit of armour and whatever. Anyway.
I don't think I've ever known what's going on.
No, but it does. That's the point. Is it just doesn't matter, because it's the visuals, it's the language.
Yeah.
It's almost a bit like I always say about Ulysses, Joyce's Ulysses. If you read it, it's just fucking nonsense. But if you hear it being read out, it's just magical. And with this, you just listen, watch events unfold. It doesn't really matter what happens. I remember
there's three things you must know about this box. I'm just going to make them up now. Completely. What is it as a box?
If you do, I love it when he says, if you do that way, you go small.
Push right, you go small.
And if you put left, you go swift.
Yes,
that's not the opposite of small. Yeah.
But he doesn't say the questions that I have to say. I would ask, which is, all right, that's fine. Does the box go small as well?
Right.
Because see, if a box goes doesn't go small, that's a problem.
No, the box,
the box goes can land in the giants.
The box goes the box goes giant when you go small.
Yeah. And what's, why am I covered in foam? That's Patrick again.
Well, this is back.
he's just a.
It's back to the pickup stuff, isn't it?
Oh, fuck.
So how does this inform your? How does this
that's not a wolf, by the way.
No.
Just a that's just a dog Swift. That was cutting about the back. There you go.
That's not Swift.
Hurray!
That's up.
That's up. Yeah, that's well, Swift just appears to go.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's something has the power to make you fly, isn't that the chief characteristic? Rather than you'll move quite quickly.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
When I see Swift, what I mean is fly.
Because you think go Swift, you'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Have you ever heard of colour separation overlay? Because wait till you see this shit, kid. I even like the look of that bedroom.
Yes.
See, if you and I shared a room like that, I'd be quite happy. Yeah, no, doesn't keep a window open, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'd be quite happy.
But this is where it starts fucking Witcher. Because
nice
he wakes
well.
Up, he does all that, nice but wakes jammies. Up in bed.
Yeah.
But he's got the box. Has to wipe it down. Oh, Peter, it's foam.
It's in a terrible mess.
It's
get
that
boy
foam.
Some boxing gloves.
He's got a scud mag in there as well.
And my box are
such
delights. Six copies of Razzle.
Got a Razzle that you found in the camp.
Push to the left and you go
King
Swift.
King Arthur's Gambit, dog.
Push to the right and you go big.
Two copies of four of them.
Surely he'd have a copy of Neve.
So here's the...
secret.
Here's the Midnight Feast.
Look at that fucking sausage rolls.
I know,
they're
fucking belters.
Yes!
Sausage rolls. Well, it's not really a Midnight Feast, is it? It's breakfast. Jam tarts.
It's a sort of hobbity first breakfast.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Look at those big sausage rolls.
They're belters, aren't they?
Are these little mince pies?
Yeah, mince pies. We have mince pies.
That's 1984. They could have been Crawford.
Yeah, looking at... And just a jug of lemonade. This was just almost one of the things that fascinated me most about this.
Aye.
Who has this shit just sitting in the house?
I know.
Tapioca, Sago. Look at this.
Phenomenal. Oh, Sago. That was an answer in a crossword I was doing today. I've just realised.
How'd you start a pudding race?
Hey.
Sago.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's
that.
That would
foam.
Be.
That'll be Aberdeen.
That would be fucking Nigella's pantry now with lemongrass.
That's true.
And Dutch cocoa.
Nigella seeds.
Shite.
Give us a fucking sausage roll, my jam
sago.
Actually, if that was Nigella's pantry, you'd open the door and all night you'd hear. You're right in there, Nigella. Just getting some vanilla pods.
Where is it? Where's this set?
Gaff!
Where's all the baking powder gone?
Where's the set?
Well, that's what I said. We have no idea.
Okay.
The Chester Hills.
Well.
Tatchester.
Okay.
Well.
Where do we think it's at?
Part
home county?
Maysfield was from Herefordshire,
okay.
As are you.
Well, I've family in Herefordshire.
Not anymore, mate.
Hell from first
fucking one of us now.
Because you claim to be Scottish, don't you?
No, I don't claim to be
Scottish. You're right.
You
no,
grew
I
up
not,
here, didn't you?
I do not claim to be Scottish.
Yeah.
That fucking goose that used to terrorise you, it was Scottish though, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. No, it wasn't. That was actually one of the Herefordshire.
Big boy.
We had a goose called Big Boy. And so you go, you open up.
He's a friend of yours.
It's all true.
We sort of lived on kind of like farmland thing. And so you open up.
Kind of like
you go to the shed.
Thing.
And he'd be
farm.
In there. He'd be in the shed. He'd go. Fucking scary as Big Boy. Do you know what? We ate him.
Christmas time.
Somehow Jack relates to this more than us.
Yeah.
This
was his childhood.
Yes.
You just see a wee bald guy in the back bound on along. Saying, I think you'll find.
Doing the scrobbling.
Yeah, doing the scrobbling.
I think you'll find that scrabbling, actually.
Mm. Give us. That goose gave you the purple pin.
So, Craig.
Hi.
Talk me through your Christmas Day schedule.
Childhood or now?
There's a fucking plane that makes no noise, and James Grouch just appeared.
Yeah, to be fair, the plane is also kind of modern looking as well.
Mm. It also does make noise.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of noise.
Yeah.
So to clarify my question, talk me through your...
Was this before he became a chief superintendent in... Morse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So is it the same character is what I'm essentially asking. Took him a while to get there, but I'm... Listen, my laddie, my matey.
Became chief... No, he was superintendent, wasn't he?
I said that.
Chief superintendent. Bot- was chief it Bottomley? Bottomley?
No, I don't think it's Bottomley.
Lovely mince pies.
Mm. We'll so look that up.
Your Christmas schedule.
What, no one in Charlton?
Well, that's in what's correct.
Oh, yeah.
If you okay. had to advise someone on how they should timetable their Christmas day.
Okay. Get up around about 8:30.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm, that's about right. That.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Open your presents. Tree on, mm-hmm. presents open.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Cup of tea, someone has to go make a cup of tea.
Okay. Mm.
Presents open.
Uh-huh. For divergent.
A suitable amount of time spent over them.
Uh-huh. Then have tea we had
and
toast.
Then well hang on, tea and okay. toast after the presents are opened.
Okay.
And a bit of chocolate, because you like chocolate on mm-hmm. Christmas Day in mm-hmm. the morning.
By this time I'd have eaten a Yorkie the size of a fucking flat.
By this time, uh-huh. that's when I'd probably go off then for a poo.
with some of your presents.
I might. I'm mostly getting dukes.
You'd be sitting there doing the wee puzzle trail on the back of a selection box. Well, give us your literature shit.
So would you sit on the loo and have some chocolate while you're on the loo?
No, that's just fucking filthy. You degenerate. You.
I don't keep that for Christmas.
So, but then
you want to do something different at Christmas.
I might have spent some time writing a sonnet about Christmas. Yes, and at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, largely, I mean, you know, I am the cook on Christmas Day, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. it doesn't take... We like to eat about 3 in the afternoon,
that's
so...
Good, yeah,
oh,
like
no.
So I would be, from around, you know, late morning onwards, mm-hmm. I'm in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and I've got Radio 4 on, and I'm enjoying myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a lot of cooking that's done then.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'll have done is, you see, the mince pies I've got made on the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Or even earlier than that. On Christmas Eve, I'll have made I make a nice trifle for Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And then on Christmas Day, it's basically just the turkey, and then take that out 1 hour before serving, and then put in the potatoes and everything. Mm. I don't do a starter.
And what do you do?
Well, that's good to know.
That's all you ask.
And what happens post Christmas?
Post Christmas dinner. Well, see, that's me done all the work then. So I will go for a sit down on the sofa, and I'll
we
probably
sleep?
Fall. We've got a real fire, you see, yeah. So I'll make a fire, and I'll probably have a wee sleep. Mm-hmm. I remember 2 Christmases ago, it was quite nice, because I woke up just in time for them showing an adventure in Space and Time.
Sweet. Two poo breaks from the Christmas Day?
Well, I definitely want to drop one off by the evening. Before I start on, that's when in the evening, I'll probably start eating the cheese then. I'm not a big drinker, as you know, I don't really drink anymore.
No.
And this coming Christmas,
what was the name of that woman in Life
coming
Force again?
I've got to drive my mother-in-law back home,
I
won't be drinking at all, but... Then on Boxing Day.
Chris,
what about you?
I don't give a fuck.
Well, you
but
do, because you're Mr. Christmas.
Do you diverge or converge with that general...
No, it doesn't follow my day at all.
Christmas thinks this is, of course, therefore, the right way to do things.
Can I just say, before we do that, can I just give an example of the wrong way to do things?
Yeah, go on.
My eldest brother, they open their presents at 2:00.
No, I don't know
what
that's all about.
2:00! Fucking 2:00!
What's his first name?
What is that? Roger.
Roger.
Yeah,
wrong.
Yeah. Wrong! It's horrendous. 2:00.
It's Roger the Giant.
Yes, Roger the Giant, yeah.
Does it just take him that long to bend down to pick them up?
Apparently. Six foot eight is the official.
Oh, I'm fucking choking on a mince pie.
6 foot 8 is the official classification of a giant, apparently. Although I checked this and it doesn't seem to be. Nonetheless. But Rossity Davis also says 6 foot 8. He's 6 foot 8.
What height is Rossity Davis?
He's about 6'7", 6'8". Rossity Davis is a very tall man.
Really?
Mm.
That's a lot of gay
coming at you.
Anyway, so Chris.
The official designation.
Get a single to Cardiff.
Designation of a middle class cunt is opening their presents at 2:00 on Christmas.
What do they do for the rest of the morning?
I don't really know.
He's trying to get into the shower.
Wrap them. What's that? Wrap them, I don't know.
Wrap them?
I don't know.
On Christmas morning?
No idea. I just find it.
He's off eating. He's off
by
he's
the way. Making some bread for tea. In the meantime,
back with
Cole Hollings appears to be on the phone, but actually isn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then what?
And then what? Well, I don't know, because...
Do you not have relatives that have tea and chocolates before dinner?
Wow. No, I don't think so.
Oh, some other cunt must have told him that in.
Not this cunt, some other cunt.
It's nice that someone's listening in. Oh, darling, yeah, look, these people have talked about the Box of Delights. That's your favourite. Cut to well, Michael later. What did you think of it, darling? Listen, a bunch of cunts!
Let's not listen to Wogan on Christmas morning.
Let's put this on. They're reciting, we're waiting to open our presents.
Look, we've got a whole 3 hours that we can sell before we open our presents.
It says here that one of them was professor of poetry at Harvard. This will be lovely.
Oh, look, some Macefield. That's lovely. Guns!
Fucking giants!
Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's all wrong. 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
That's the sort of thing you say when you're a kid. Mm. I'm going to keep a couple of presents until tonight. So that you can make it last. And you never do. Because why would you? It's fucking mental.
No. So where do you diverge principally then from Craig's?
Well, our Christmas has changed over the last few years because my elderly...
It's actually quite a bit.
My elderly gran, Steptoe, was in a residential home down where we live. Mm. So our day was kind of... had to be tailored around visiting her.
Yeah.
For like fucking 7 minutes or something. But...
That's all wrong.
But it meant... It meant that we had to... So what we would do is... myself, my sister and her man, we go down to there at my mum and dad's Christmas Eve. We usually go to the pictures or something on Christmas Eve because it starts out, you know, we'd like to start it early. Have a nice dinner. Watch a film at night. Sit and look at the Christmas tree a wee bit.
What kind of film would you watch?
I try to push it in the direction of something that fits with my Christmas films list. Because Christmas films are a very specific thing. They're not necessarily films about Christmas. They're films that you associate with Christmas because you may have seen them at the time. So for me, Flash Gordon's a Christmas film. Arthur is a Christmas film. You know, that sort of thing. So try and watch something along those lines. And then Christmas morning, about the same time, half eight, 9 o'clock, maybe a wee bit later than that because we don't have, you know, we get kids. And we would get up and... it kind of depends how we feel. Maybe we have breakfast first or open our presents first or have a present. Depends, because sometimes we do have a ludicrous amount of presents. We have a very strict regimen about how to open presents, one at a time.
Yes.
Everybody and you have has to wait. Open it. Really? Yeah, you've got to wait. Yeah, none of this ripping it all out. No, because everybody has to open their present one at a time so everybody can see.
And how do you deal with the issue if someone has more presents than
My sister and my mum. Well, you just have to sit and wait, and that's fine.
Do you not like dish them out?
They both deserve more presents.
Would you not
dish them out like 2 presents when other people are getting one?
No, they're all under the tree.
See, my methodology is you need to finish.
Yeah, but we're not talking about your methodology just now. Yeah. All my presents are under. All the presents are under.
There's only 6 episodes. We might not get around to.
But it also lasts.
No, this time.
What are we watching again?
In the Land of the Giants.
Present. They come in with a forklift with your selection box.
I bet you never struggled to get that fairy on. But the don't hurt your back bending over there.
Anyway, we'd open the other thing that we're not very good at labelling presents, so it's protracted because there's a lot of working out whose present is which and that sort of thing. Anyway, sometimes it can literally take hours.
It's a great car, yes.
And are you putting
that's the plane.
So
are you cleaning up wrapping paper as you go?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get a
big black bag. Yes, absolutely. Put the paper
inherited
in
that from my dad.
Yeah, no, we do that as well. And then nice
the
bags.
Literally the bag.
Yeah, yes. Wales.
Dad's bag. but where's Dad's bag?
Get Dad's bag.
But we also and then any really nice paper, my mum will sit and fold up.
Really?
Or ribbon.
Yeah, ribbons are
good. Reason.
My mum's
so
got a box
throw
in
out
the house
next day instead.
No, my mum's got a box in the house with ribbon that I remember from when I was like 5.
Wow.
So then we do our presents, but we have a nice big breakfast. Because we don't eat until later.
So what might you have for breakfast?
The difference... Well, we have sort of... We like to have things like bacon and croissants.
Or
we have had kedgeree in the past on Christmas. We haven't had a posset, no. A posset would actually make me go like fucking full Linda Blair if I had one of them.
Is a posset out both ends? Baked eggs with the cream.
No, you see
they
it
talk
later
about
on.
It on this. Yeah. It's a little reference.
What you need, Mr. Harker, is a posset. You take sitting it going, oh, fucking rotten.
Yeah.
It's basically warm milk with raw egg in it. Yeah. Oh, here we go, Hen the Hunter. Making his third appearance.
I did actually think we'd come to the end of another episode there.
No, I know. So, but we'd, and then what we would do is normally go and visit Steptoe.
Mm-hmm.
But her being dead, we are what we do is we come back up to Glasgow because they live on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
But we go out for dinner. Now, I have to say, my preference is not to go out for dinner because I like to cook.
Chris,
dinner.
Would you countenance red meat on Christmas Day?
No, I like not really.
My brother, my big brother.
I like a bit of pork.
My big brother.
A bit of stuffing.
My big brother has beef on Christmas Day.
Oh, for God.
See, my mum.
Is there no end to that?
No, see, my dad likes to have like beef or something.
I do like beef, actually.
But you can have that any day.
No, I agree, actually. Yeah.
I like, anyway. I tried goose for a few years and it's very nice.
Yeah, it's nice goose. We went to that. We went to that amazing dinner at
Edinburgh Castle. We did, yeah.
That was extraordinary.
Yes. Guests of Historic Scotland, they liked our uncritical, easy nostalgia.
And then they gave us the wrong kind of Christmas dinner. Yeah.
did they get you aside and say, now, the reason we've got you here is that we're having this special event and we need a giant. If there was any chance.
And it's a giant in the family. We could tell this giant family.
Trying to get that flag put up.
And he's free to run about 2 o'clock.
I was like,
we thought we'd
here comes Jack. Oh no, he brought the wee fat one with him.
We thought we'd lure them into the great hall with some beef.
Here they come. Anyway, dreadful personal remarks aside. Yeah, so we go out for dinner.
Yeah,
I prefer to cook it.
That's bad.
But
I like cooking at Christmas time. And I've now cracked.
But it takes me
to make turkey.
We talked about your Christmas. We talked about your Christmas.
Turkey isn't nice. We don't have turkey.
No, you can make turkey nice.
No, you can make it
dry.
You can't. No,
not when I
cook
it.
No, you can make it nicely.
Really?
You get
Also,
don't pay more money for a good bird as well.
You have to moisten the bird.
You see if you
is that what you're trying to say to me?
You don't have to know. You don't have to fall off a cliff to know what hurts.
Oh,
me.
We're going straight into a goosey's eye. There's that big goose.
You're the problem, Jack.
It's big boy.
if you tried to cook a goose, the waist 30 stone and it's 12 foot high.
Big boy. Scary goose.
Luckily, you had a decent sized older brother in order to get out of it.
Yeah, it was just boy when
just
it
fell
to him.
just fell out of the sky.
All got it.
Anyway,
we
go out for dinner.
Do you go to a nice Glasgow restaurant?
Yeah, we've been to a couple of different. We've been to ones that have been sort of good and bad.
You prefer the good ones, though.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I kind of find that over the years, because. Because we used to go out for, as I said, because we had the pub, we used to go out for Christmas dinner in the. This has nothing to do with the Box of the Lights now, this is just reminiscing.
No, but there's a big. There's a, but that's what it's about.
I mean, it's
the programme is about
that,
nostalgia.
But the.
We've still got four.
Because my mum and dad had the pub and we did a lot of cooking, a lot of serving, whatever, we used to go out when we were very young, sort of early 80s. And people didn't go out for dinner very much then.
True.
Special events was when you went out for dinner, birthdays and anniversaries
country.
And things,
that's
when this
true.
Was a proper country.
Yep.
You didn't just go out the drop of a hat.
No.
So it seemed much more special.
Hmm.
But now, this is the thing, I like it and it's fine and it's nice to go out and all that sort of thing. And, you know, but you can go out for dinner any time.
Yeah.
But what you don't do any time is sit down as a family and have a big meal.
Mm,
and that's why I prefer to do it at Christmas.
Yes.
But it's not something that the rest of the tribe are particularly keen on, so that's fine.
We've still to really come to Jack's full Christmas Day and schedule. But I do want to throw one question out there, because I think I know the answer, because I know how I feel about it.
Mm.
Would you? No, it's nothing about giants, honestly.
I'll find a way, though.
Would you ever countenance
red meat?
I think any listeners that are still here will feel the cold frost of December creeping when I ask the question. Would you ever countenance going somewhere warm abroad.
No, no, of course not.
I think it's weird.
No, why would you do that?
I actually really dislike people that do it.
Yeah.
I think, no, I don't want to be friends with you.
No.
Oh, it must be wonderful. And friends who are in like hot places like Australia are just going out to cook.
But it's not. It's living
on the barbecue.
Living and working somewhere else is not in itself an achievement.
No, exactly. Absolutely.
You know, there's nothing. You know, oh look at him. Yeah, you know, you're at your work yesterday. You're at the work tomorrow. Right. But you know, you're not there because you're on Asus.
Mm. No,
you
know? Absolutely not. You're not king of New Zealand or something.
This is one of the great things: is go and meet the mouse. No questions asked.
No.
You don't get falling like that on TV anymore, do you?
No.
Ice skating mouse.
I like the mouse.
No, I like the mouse as well, but why can't the fish speak?
Don't know. They sort of have telepathy, don't they? They have a sort of telepathy.
No, but you think they say, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah,
do they? Oh, yeah, I suppose so.
Look at that. That's just great. It's beautifully lit, that, as well.
And that's Berry.
What
would you call him? Not Berry. What would you call him?
Berry.
From EastEnders.
Steve Berry.
No, it's not Steve Berry. Berry. From EastEnders. Nick Berry.
Nick
Berry.
Yes,
that's
Nick
Berry.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Beep 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 beep.
That was amazing. That was three entirely separate tunes there.
That was a harmony.
Yeah, I think that's 3-point harmony. Isn't
this is
it,
what
yeah.
happened to hearsay, by the way. Yeah, that's Nick Berry, yeah.
There yeah, that's right. I've forgotten that Nick Berry was in
Hard.
This.
Oh, no, it's not.
Nick Berry.
Is it not?
No, it's not. When they meet the rats, the pirate rats, the lead pirate
He's
rat is Nick Berry.
Okay. So who's that then? Who's the mouse?
Oh, just some
Steve Berry. Mike Berry from the Blue Ribbon Dads. That's who it is.
Aye? Galso. Looks more like a hamster than a mouse as well.
There's the pirate rats. One of them. Hey. One of the
guys.
They look like they've been told to sort of do sort of dancing there, haven't they?
Yeah. There you are. The one with the chib.
Go get him, lads.
Swift.
So otherwise known as
flying.
Go flying.
So now he's flying with a mouse underground to get away from the pirate rats.
No questions asked.
Doesn't matter though, does it?
No need to explain.
It's just so brilliant.
Don't mice constantly urinate?
Yeah,
they're constantly shitting.
That's
however,
not nice, is it?
This
that's not nice. It's with like a big mouth.
I don't think they do it out of bad.
This results in, I think, one of the most iconic things is this shot from the ground up as they talk. And this sequence is just amazing.
That was just what he was wearing that day.
Yes, he didn't know the cameras were rolling, did he?
He's so good, Robert Stevens. I'm going to say that a lot during
this. This is that interfering, overreaching. It's just so bloody melodic. Yeah. All the lines are great.
Beautiful.
What I won't do to that boy. Right?
Different days.
That's
episode 2 done.
Wow.
So we'll run on to the end credits of this.
Box of such a lads.
Patch
Tratton is excellent.
It's good. It's good. We gave that a fairly comprehensive analysis.
I think so,
Close, a very close reading of that episode.
Yeah.
Can I say Patch Tratton is excellent in this?
He is, yeah, he's fantastic.
He's phenomenal.
Don't get any argument from us on that.
No, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
But
Simon Barry. So you weren't that far away when you said it was just another Barry. Yeah. Barry.
He seemed to do a lot of that sort of thing, didn't he? Patrick Troughton, he was cast as a sort of a slightly mystical character quite a lot.
Yeah.
What was the sort of Doomwatchy type series that they planned? I don't know if they actually made it, but he was... John Pertwee was going to be in
Star Watch.
Star Watch.
This is something that my cousin was involved in.
Who's your cousin?
It was my cousin-in-law.
What's your name?
So it was Roland Clark,
who
was married to... At the time was married to my cousin, Joe. And they were part of a production team who wanted to create a series called Star Watch, which was to star John Pertwee and Patrick Troughton. And they actually filmed a little taster tape with John Pertwee.
Have you got it?
Yes, I do. It's actually available on the YouTubes.
Brilliant.
With the courtesy of Doctor Who magazine. It's John Pertwee, set in the future. John Pertwee is wearing a nice knitted sweater.
Well, why not? I've got one with them tonight. It's a cold night.
But that's kind of the point. The programme stopped now, but we're just talking on. That's kind of the point, though, that I was making, is that he was cast a lot as that sort of slightly cosmic boho type.
He was
going to
play
person.
A character called Professor Caladan, who at the end of the first series it would transpire that Professor Caladan was actually
was
immortal.
Immortal, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And my
not as it transpired.
Did he die before immortal. They did?
Yes, and so then they were going to cast Robert Gillespie instead.
How did Patrick Troughton die again?
I don't know.
They were going
I think
to
it was some sort of horrendous bone cancer. That's terrible.
It would be terrible if...
They were going to cast Robert Gillespie. Yeah.
Robert Gillespie's a great guy. But anyway, Patrick Troughton.
Is Robert Gillespie
It would be
alive?
Terrible. I think you know, and I think you should tell us, and I think it would be terrible if Jack in some way stopped the tape at this point. So Chris, tell me, what happened to Patrick Troughton?